Welcome. I'd like to greet you this morning with the words of Galatians 1:3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you. And if you're guests, we're glad that you came, and we extend a welcome to you as well. And for those that are not aware, we have the first part of this service in the Low German language, and then after a congregational song, and then about halfway through the service, we'll have the rest of the message in the English language. Tim Tax von der Samaris wegen Einfarschchen Johannes Kapitel 14 Farschsaß, wie Jesus sagt, Exi de Weich, de Wadet und Leven, kein Mensch schämt nun Fura aus der Chemie. I have ever gone to unser Botschaft, wer war alle gemeinschaftlich zu beten. Lieber Gott, in himmlische Fura, wie kommen für den Herr angesagt, und Herr, wie seien die Dank für diesen neuen Tag, was du uns geschenkt hast. Der schöne Sonne schien, Herr, dieselbe Freude. Wir seien dir Dank für das Wetter, dass es nicht so kalt ist, und dass du uns warme Städten hast, Tipp zu kommen, unser Hieser und so weiter, und hier von der Samaris in dein Haus, Herr, und wir beten, dass dein Geist, was jeder sein Hort anrühren, was hier für dir versammelt ist. Ich bete, Herr, dass ich mich open sein zu deiner Geistesleitung, und was dir redet, was nicht meine einige Gedanken wird sein, aber Herr, dass du kannst frei öffentlich durch mich reden. Herr, wir beten auch, dass du den Feind sein Wort musst bringen hier von der Samaris, dass er uns nicht verstehen kann. Herr, wir beten für die, die schon beladen sind, dass du uns musst Mut geben und abheben und dieses Los, was uns vielleicht bedrecken wird, leichter merken. Wir beten für die, die krank sind, dass du uns musst Gesundheit schenken. Und wir dort nicht in den Wellen als Herr hüllend beständig und fast in den Glauben, aber die Zeit, die du uns erleisen lässt, von der irdischen Körper und der Hüßeroben lässt, mit die Taub und Ewigkeit im Himmel zu sein. Und Herr, wir sind froh für den Erleisungsplan, was du erlangen lässt für uns, dass du im Krieg starfst, den Blut vergötzt, unser Sünd rein zu waschen als Schnee. Wir seien dir Dank durch den Abstand und die Gewinns hast über den jässlichen Tod. Denn Herr, die Gewinns gibt uns innerliche Frieden und Freude, und da danken wir dir für. Herr, wir geben diese Botschaft ganz eben an die Brücke zu deiner Ehe, und mochst du herrlich sein durch was wir reden und singen tun von der Samaris, das beten wir in Jesus' Namen. Amen. Ich will aber zwei Versammlungsleiter haben.
Auf ermuntere dich, meine Sohn, Nummer 457. Auf ermuntere dich, mein Sohn, weil die Fenster noch vergangen. Herz und Seil zum Himmel hin, von dem du viel Gutes empfangen. Gott, du hast das Latter genauden, mich bei Wort vor allem schauden. Deine Ehe tut mich bei dich, und dein Auge hat dich wachet. Das keinen von mich erschreckt, obgleich Satan hat dich krachet. Tausendmal sag hat dich priesen, dass mir hat Gnade Liebster Vater, was soll ich dir für deine Gnade
Meine Soll kam zu dir im Wunder, Nummer 327.
Wann wir im Leben durchgehen dürfen, dann ist man begegnet einem Menschen, was er nicht eher gesehen hat, und was merkt er sich bekannt? Und er sagt, wo er heute, dann geht die Erholung zu wieder, und dann wird ein Gerät von, was schaffst du, oder wer bist du, oder was tust du? Und was immer du dann bist, du musst sein, ich sie retired, oder du musst sein, ich sie ein Bühmeister, ich bin Sachen, oder ich sie ein Welder, oder ich sie ein Lehrer in der Gemeinde, ich sie ein Prediger, oder ein Diakon, die Liste. Der ist lang. Jeder eine hat ein Denk und Sinn in ihr Leben, was sie sich mit, auf Englisch zu sein, identifizieren. Da muss sie sich mit bekannt werden. Und das ist meine Arbeit, das ist, wer ich sehe. Ist Jesus auf ihr Denk, er möchte doch sehr klar zu seinen Jüngern oder seinen Jüngern und der Rahmen, wer er in Wirklichkeit wird. Und in Johannesbrief, da haben wir besonders viele Schriftstellen, wo Jesus sagt, ich sie. Und hier in Johannes 14, Vers 6, wo wir anfangen, da von der Samaris, da sagt er, ich sie die Weich, die Wahrheit und das Leben. Kein Mensch kommt nun vor, als durch mich. Da ist allein durch Jesus Christus, was du und ich erraten kann von unserer Sinnschuld. Da ist allein durch Jesus Christus, da wir können ähnliche Frieden und Fried haben in uns Wort. Dass das allein durch Jesus Christus, wo uns durch das Leben regiert wird. Dass durch Jesus, da wir Herrn Mautan wieder verarmte leben. Und ein manche Mal, das sind Dinge um uns, die sind nicht unter Kontrolle, und die bedrecken uns vielleicht, wir haben ein Mautlos. Und auch wenn wir nach Jesus kicken, dann, hei erste Jahre, wir uns kein Maut merken, uns kann helfen, auf uns dörrliches Leben. Hei erste Weich, hei erste Wahrheit, hei erste Leben. Da sind viele Dinge in der Welt, die wollen uns verstehen. Viele Dinge, die nicht Wahrheit sind, die wurden nur verteilt. Viele Dinge, die nicht wirklich der rechte Weich ist, wird herangegangen. Aber wenn wir Jesus herangehen und am nur folgen, dann wird uns niemand verleiden. Er wird uns immer auf den rechten Weich wiesen. Wenn wir nach ihm kicken, dann haben wir den rechten Ziel. Dann wollen wir nicht am rechten Weich fahren. Und wenn wir uns auf der rechten Stadt finden, dann, wenn wir dann zurückkicken, dann ist es ein Montag, wenn wir uns die Ohren haben, von Jesus raufgenommen, uns Ziel nicht erst gewusst, am zu denken. Mir hat mich für an Petrus denken, als er in seine Mettjünger am Boot war, und dort im Wetter und dort im Sturm war, und auf einmal sahen sie einen Mensch. Sie wissen nicht, ne, vielleicht ein Ghost, was es muss sein, das ging dort am Wetter. Und sie fürchten sich, sie waren Angst, sie rückten rüt. Und dann antwortet Jesus, und sie sagt, das ist Jesus. Und dann Petrus, wo der einzige Moment zu schwinden, reit wird, um Brove rüttreden, sagt er, wenn du Jesus bist, dann bat mich, dann wo ich auch am Wetter nur die gegangen komme. Und dann sagt Jesus, komm. Und wir müssen uns wundern, über Petrus, er weiß gut, was Wetter wir, er wird ganz bekannt, er wird ein Fischer, und er stoppt im Boot rüt, und fängt an, nach Jesus zu gehen. Und solange er seine Ohren auf Jesus hält, können sie dort tun, was wie menschlich sein, anmählich ist, sie können auf Wetter gehen. Aber dann sehen wir, ist der Sturm der Ramm am Toben deit, nimmt er seine Ohren von Jesus rauf und kickt nur den Sturm und dann fängt er an zu sinken. Aber dann der rechte Ding, er ruft ihn, Jesus, rad mich. Und Jesus regt seine Hand ut, trag am Hech und wir in sein Bett im Boot bauen. So das sehen wir, wenn wir unsere Ohren noch einmal aufnehmen von Jesus. Wir checken nur all das, was uns bedrecken wird und der Sturm um uns. Wenn wir uitropen dann nur Jesus, er wird nie nicht sein, na nu leer zu schwammen und nu schwimmen. Er wird leider seine Hand uitstreiken und uns in eine sichere Stadt nahnehmen. Wir uns nicht wird verleid und verfehlt worden. Jesus aus der Janja wird bekämmert das die und mich. Dort werden sie sagen, ich sehe die Wahrheit, ich sehe das Leben, ich sehe das Weich. Viele Menschen sehen sich Gott zu merken, Gott genug zu merken, dass sie wollen den Himmel erlangen. Sie proben mit Gott zu wollen, oder gewisse Leute, oder gewisse Weich Gemeinschaften haben in der Kirche. Und verschiedenste Dinge, da wird vielleicht ein bisschen gedreht und hielt sich so, wenn wir dort und dort und so und so tun, dann wollen wir immer und auch Gott ankommen. Und da wir haft in der Vergangenheit vielleicht mehr gehört dort, als ich nie do, aber würde ich einmal mit einer Person in der Hohen Kode oder mehrere Menschen, und dann wenn er redet von, you know, wir waren noch mal einen Tag gestorben, und wenn der Tag kommt, der beste Rede. Und die Antwort, was er erfährt und gehört haft, und dann noch mal hier und da, ich hoffe, ich will noch mal am Jahr und Tag der Gott ankommen. Weißt du, Geschwister, dort ist sehr trürig. Jo, wir haben eine Hoffnung, wir haben eine lebende Hoffnung, wir haben eine Versicherung, wenn wir unsere Ohren auf Jesus holen und am angenommen haben als Herr und Heiland. Und wenn wir uns noch wollen bei uns verfehlen, seine Gnade bedeckt alle Sinn und wir wollen dort Gott ankommen. Jesus verspricht uns, Heimjagden steht bereit für uns. Und wenn wir den Johannesbrief ein paar Farsch zurückgehen, da redet er von, er merkt, er steht bereit für ihn, und wo ich sie, weil ich ihn mit mir habe. Er will haben, wie sie an dort sein, wo er ist. Und wenn wir ihn angenommen, das Herr in Heiland, dann haben wir die Versicherung, dass wir wollen bei Jesus für alle Ewigkeit sein. Die Versicherung, die fängt an, mit dass wir Jesus annehmen, das Herr in Heiland. In Johannes 3, Vers 16, ein sehr bekannter Farsch, da lesen wir von, wo Gott die Welt geleift hat, dass er Gott sein einziger Bühne sehen, dass wir immer an ihm leben werden, der braucht nicht in Verdorbenheit gehen, aber haft, dass er wird leben. Dafür sagen ich habe, wie, wenn du an Jesus gelebt hast, am hast angenommen aus Herr und Heiland und an den Horten angekriegt hast, dann ist der Ewigkeit am Himmel bereit für dich. Wo wir da in vollkommen sind und nie nicht Fehler merken? Nee, wir wollen nicht vollkommen sein, wir wollen Fehler merken. Was gerade sind die Genau, der ist deeper, denn einen Fehler, was du und ich jemand wollen merken. Und Jesus möchte klar in Johannes Kapitel 4, dass er der Messias ist. Und der Messias, der meint, so eine, was uns raten wird, so eine, was in der Erbarmung kauf über uns. Ein Messias ist so eine, was er bekämmert ist um die und mich. Ein Messias ist so eine, was die und mich persönlich kennen wird. Und er wird kracht, was die fehlen wird, diese Minute oder eine Minute later in dein Leben. Und er wird dort teilen. Da wird vielleicht nicht immer kracht so loten, dass die in Äquivalen Wellen haben, das so loten, aber Gott und seine Wissenschaft und dort alles sein kann, was er vorab ist, was er vergangen ist und was er von dir ist, er wird teilen, was uns fehlen wird. Und dort hat der Messias erst, das mir kein Klar in Johannes Kapitel 4, da hat er in einer Heilung mit einer samaritischen Frau, es hat dort ein Barm satten, der wie diese Samariter in wessen Tiet am Dach und die Jüden in anderen Tiet am Dach kämen Wutter zu holen für Tüß zum Trinken oder zum Waschen oder was immer in der Wutter für Fehl und Eid. Und Jesus sieht mir sicher, ich wüsste Gott, was von Tiet am Dach heißig dort eben Eid. Er wusste, dass wir die Zeit, wo die Samariter kämen, Wutter holen. Und er wie ein Jüd. Und seine Freunde wären Juden. Und die Juden, und nicht Jesus, aber die Judenvolk, die wollen nichts mit den Samariter zu tun haben. Die kickten rauf auf die. Die würden die sogar weit im Stich gehen, wenn sie die Sahne verlängt der Gas gegangen kommen. Und hier ist Jesus. Und diese Friede kennt ihm nicht. Alles, was sie weit ist, von wo er sich davon begleitet hat oder was immer, das ist ein Jude. Und er redet zu ihr. Und dort jüdische Männer würden in der samaritischen Früh reden, dort wird besonders schwer. Aber sie holen sich durch und sie redet davon, von ihrer Menschheit, da sie sagten sich eigentlich, ob Sonne und Sonne steht, da mussten sie taub kommen in diesen Wassenburg. Und da wird der Messias nochmal nur end kommen. Und dann sagt Jesus zu end und den 26. Vers, ich wollte mit dir reden, dort dort ist die. Und dann wird gesagt, sagt Jesus zu ihr, ich sehe den Messias. Ich sehe den Radner. Ich sehe dich, nur wenn die Säcken und Lüren tun. Ich habe uns nicht mehr vorstellen, wo sie sich macht im Geist verführt haben und wo sie sich noch was gefreut haben. Ich habe das Messias begehrt. Was hat sie von Zeugnis gedreht haben, dass sie es nach Hause gehen, nur ihre Familie, nur ihre Oberschaft. Ich sage, das ist ein Messias. Ich sage, das ist Jesus. Ich habe noch eine Heilung mit ihm. Er ist hier. Und weil die Geschwister so abgerecht, so und du und ich von dir auch sein. Der Messias, der ist krank hier. Er ist hier mit uns. Er wohnt in deinem Hort durch den Heiligen Jesus. Wie sein Name für dir nicht persönlich, dass dem samaritischen Früh antworten kann, Barmsach sagen, aber wie sein Name mit unserer Jesu-Jung. Wie feilen Namen in uns Hort. Wie feilen Namen durch den Fried und den Trost, was er uns alle Tag tauloten dat. En wieder in Johannes Kapitel 6, en die 35. Vers, da sagt Jesus, ich sehe das Brot von Leben, der wird in der Mietkamp, wird nie nicht hungern, und wer um mich läuft, wird niemals darsten. Er redet hier nicht von das Eten, was wir uns auf Freistich in Märach oder irgendwas Eten tun, oder der Wutter, was wir trinken tun, aber er redet jäßlich. Uns hört, du hast ein Lade steht, wenn Jesus da nicht bei einem wohnen wird. Uns hört das segne Wort, was die Weltmensch werden, auf alle verschiedenen Städten segnen wird, aber nicht auf erreichte Städten. Diese Weltmensch, die segnen, mehr Dinge zu haben, mehr haben Geld, mehr Land, mehr Häuser, mehr geratet geschafft, oder was immer das muss sein. Und die Dinge an sich selbst essen, nicht mehr alles. Aber wenn wir nur haben Gott kicken tun, um Trost zu haben oder Freude zu haben, dort ist sehr kalt gefühlt. Die Freude verjährt am kalten Tiet. Wenn die Uhrzeiten kosten, oder vielleicht hast du lang, Aber dieser Fried, was wir durch Jesus haben, der innerliche Fried, der hat nichts zu tun mit Dingen, was wir ihnen tun. Der hat zu tun allein mit der DNA, kann Jesus in uns Worten angekriegt. Er hat bei uns seine Wohnung gemerkt hat und hat uns alle Tag leiden lassen. Wird das Leben immer durch ein Leichen glatt sein und muss immer in Schein gehen? Nein. Das christliche Leben ist nicht immer bloß Schein gehen. Aber das christliche Leben hat alle Zeit Fried, innerliche Fried, allein durch was durch Jesus Christus in Vergeherrschaft mit ihm geben hat. Und Jesus redet von sich selbst in Johannes Kapitel 9, Vers 5, wo er sagt, ich sehe das Licht von der Welt, solange ich in der Welt sehe, sehe ich das Licht von der Welt. Die Welt, und wir wissen nicht, wenn wir eine Schrift lesen, und die Welt, Romans, wird verangebracht für die, die nicht Christen sind. Die sind geistlich im Düsternis. Und wir als Christen haben das geistliche Licht gesehen. Wir haben nicht in düsterer gewandelt. Und Jesus sagt, ich sehe das Licht von der Welt. Er ist der Janja, wir unsere geistliche Jugend kann aufmerken. Und wenn er vielleicht auch düster, dunkel Romans loten wird, wir können Frieden und Trost und Freude haben. Wir haben eine lebende Hoffnung. Dat dit wat deze wereld bieden heeft, dat komt alle te meng. Dat vervult, dat verstakt, dat verkomt. Wat de jeselijt, wat in ons hart woont heeft, dat heeft niet vlees, dat heeft niet bloed. Dat kerpa, vlees en bloed, wat er dat stoft, wat hem graf gelegd, wat aan je geschaffeld. Wat de jest, de tijd wat we ons laatste oren nemen doen, die is met Jezus voor eeuwig en immer. En dat is mijn wens. Mein Verlangen und Gebet, dass jeder einer hier, der innerliche Frieden und Freude macht, voll feiern, dass du machst von hier eine Hüßform von dir getreust und weiten, dass Jesus hat die Leib. Er hat so eine tiefe Leib für dich, dass er Gott sein eines Leben hat, er vergaut sein Blut. Er stund ab am dritten Tag, vorträgen im Himmel, für dich der Lothar. Und wir haben eine Stehdreit für dich. Dort jaff dein Fried, jaff dein Trost, jaff dein Fried. Und mach wie das alle erfahren, es mein Gebet für uns alle. Amen. Eier, wir ewig gehen zu der zweiten Port von unserer Botschaft von der Samaris. Wer wird die Gelegenheit nehmen, und die werden wieder kommen. Wer wird uns Hand hinein und beten in den Namen des Herrn. Möge der Herr unsere viele Gebete hier in uns gnädig sein. Amen.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 247. He hideth my soul. Can we stand, please? A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the clefts of the rock, wherever
Trusting the Lord has heard our many prayers, we are encouraged to continue with our service this morning. The second portion I've entitled this morning, The Christian Life in a Secular World. I'd like to start off with looking at the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where the writer encourages and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we read that we are encouraged to be a living sacrifice, not on our own, but by the mercies of God, with the Lord's help. How do we go about this? A living sacrifice is a self-sacrifice. It is about giving up I, me, and myself, my desires, my wants, and rather living a life, what pleases Christ? What can I do to enhance your life? What can I do to encourage you along life's way? In Hebrews in chapter 13 and in verse 16, the writer says, but to do good and to communicate forget not, for as such sacrifices God is well pleased. But to do good, to communicate. You know, to communicate, maybe the first thing that might come to mind is, I have to speak a lot, I have to say a lot. For some of us, that comes naturally. For others, it's difficult. But to communicate is much more deeper than just the words that we say. We communicate by our actions, by our lifestyle, by the way we live our Christian life. We are an example to those around us. How we react to circumstances speaks volumes. Whether we're complacent and just let things go, or whether we are concerned and pray about things, encourage others to pray with us over the things that concern us. To do good. You know, it sounds simple. And you know, reality is a lot of non-Christians do a lot of good. As a matter of fact, they might put some of us as Christians to shame sometimes as to how they reach out within their communities, within their workplaces, and look out for the best of those around them. But you know, the nicest people in this world will still end up in hell if they don't have Jesus in their hearts. But to do good, to communicate, means giving up I, me, and myself. It's not about me being comfortable, but it is about serving Christ and living his lifestyle, reaching out, as we might say in the sports world, to the underdog, to those that are pushed back, to communicate with them, to encourage them. James says in the book of, or in chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, that's a strong statement. But how often do I or you fail on the part of the sin of, you might call it, omission, where we know we can do something to help someone and we sort of turn a blind eye? Like the Good Samaritan, the story that Jesus used of a person being beat up, left to die on the side of the road, where two church people, priests, leaders in the church, sort of turned a blind eye and walked on by about their busy life. And here's the Samaritan that had a purpose in life. It tells us he was going from one place to the next. Sounds like he had a reason for his trip. It wasn't just a leisurely walk through life. And he took out of his time to care for this hurting and dying man. And he didn't just stop with taking care of his immediate needs. He went what we often call the second mile, and he took him to a motel, booked him in, asked the motel keeper, take care of this guy, and I'll come back. And if you have spent more money than I'm leaving with you, I'll repay you. You know, he went all out for the best of those around him. And that is the example you and I need to follow. This was a parable, a teaching that Jesus used to illustrate how you and I are to reach out to those around us. The Christian life is a life of often sacrificing time, sacrificing our own comforts, and the list could go on. And we read about self-sacrifice. And when we read about the word holy, it means that something is dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose. There's a reason why you and I are here. It's not about self-fulfillment, but being the hands and feet of Jesus. Even though he really doesn't need us, he's a God of miracles. He can do things without us. But when we allow him to use us, we are blessed, and those around us whom we reach out to are blessed as well. Relationships are built. Community is built. Church is built. God is honored and glorified. Let's not live a life of self-indulgence, but live a life of self-sacrifice and enhancing the lives of others around us. Another word or another definition I found for holy is devoted to the service of God. You know, giving ourselves wholeheartedly. And I think we only need to look in our own lives, never look at those around us. How am I faring in this part of life, of being fully devoted to the service of God? In 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and in verse 1, the word says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, here we read of a high regard when it talks about in the fear of God, and to clean ourselves of all filthiness, it says, of the flesh. You know, all physical desires that are not godly should be done away with. Ungodly things should, in other words, not have control of us. You know, material things, as I mentioned in the German message, are things. They're there for us to enjoy and to have, but they should not be something that we want badly just for the sake of feeling good or having bragging rights or whatever the list might include. But to have a life that is dedicated to God, a devoted service to God, is a holy life. We often envision holy as something that is perfect and that is reserved for God and Him alone. And that is true. And yet, on the other hand, when we devote ourselves to serving Christ, when we sacrifice self as Christ sacrificed Himself, giving up His comforts to the service of God, we become a holy people. You know, 2 Peter, trying to quote off the top of my head here, 2 verse 9, I believe it is, where God encourages us to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation. You know, we are different than the average run-of-the-mill type of person. We have a purpose and a reason for living. And that our life is an acceptable life, is an acceptable offering, as you read in verse 2 of Romans 12. And to cross-reference that, I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and a verse 14, where the writer says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Strive for peace. In other words, strive for unity with everyone. Does that mean that we will always think alike? No. But we will make sure that when there is a difficulty, that I am not the one at fault. You know, it is so easy to push the blame on the next person. But reality is that we are to look into our own hearts. As he says in Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men. You know, make sure that you get along. And holiness. And he says, if you don't do this, you won't see God's kingdom. Salvation is based on our faith in Christ alone. So true. But we can destroy this when we choose to walk away from God and to live life in our own means, to handle matters with our own smarts, to hire whatever help we need to get our own way. You know, the true Christian is willing to sacrifice being right, is willing to take the blame. And you know, we should never underestimate God's almighty spirit and His almighty power, that when we might sacrifice, and when we truly sacrifice in a godly way, we ourselves will often not even recognize what we have done. Others might come to us and say, how could you do this, or could you do that, or how didn't you, you know, take him or her to court and retaliate and just get the best of them? That is the world's way of thinking. But a godly person, a Christ follower, sacrifices his or her right and is willing to allow God, through His divine power, to work things out well. We might sometimes, in an earthly manner, look at things and say, I got the short end of the stick. But that short end, be sure, God is holding the other end. He is there to hold you up, to help you through whatever circumstances come your way. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, and in verse 2, tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, in other words, our number one love should be our relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two is, if we have a spouse, our relationship with our spouse. If we don't have a spouse, then it's relationship with those around us. And then when we keep those perspectives in the proper order, God can bless us. Even though others might sometimes ridicule us and say, you know, how would you do this or how would you do that? You know, I remember some years ago being in a group of men at a family gathering, and where there was talk about some guys wanting to go golfing on a certain weekend. And the one co-worker had said, well, he wouldn't commit yet. He'd first go home and he'd talk to his wife, and he would tell them the next day whether he was going or not. You know, and the others ridiculed him, using words like, oh, you're all whipped and all this and that. That is not. That is a high regard and a respect to our second love in our lives. You know, to include them in all conversation and decisions that we make. That builds marriages. That builds relationship. And irregardless of whether you're ridiculed by your coworkers or looked down, you're more concerned about your relationship with Jesus Christ and the spouse whom he has put into your life. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 10, we read, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, when we want to make decisions in life, whatever it entails, is God included in that decision? And I don't want to be negative, but I remember a conversation as a young married man, maybe first or second year in our marriage, wanted to make some decisions. And, you know, back then for us as a young married couple, it was a big decision. And today we might look at it, well, what was the big deal? But anyway, we prayed about it. And I shared it with someone that I trusted. And he says, don't bother God with those little things. I was smitten. I was taken aback. Those kinds of words coming from an individual that I had looked up to for an example for many years. You know, brothers and sisters, if we don't trust God with the little details of life, we're not going to trust him in the big details until we're at our wits' end. How much easier is life when we commit every detail, every concern, every decision to him, and then we will not think of small or big decisions. Everything will be done with him in the back of our minds, leading, guiding us, and looking to him for full direction. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, and in verse 21, we read, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You know, test the things. Hold them up against the light of God's word. Look through it. And if it is appropriate, go for it. The Lord will bless. He will lead. He will guide. And hold fast unto that which is godly, to that which is good. Don't let your faith waver because others might ridicule you or what you think others might think. You know, that thought process of wondering what others think is the first spiral down. It tears us apart. It takes away the peace and the joy that God alone wants us to have. In the book of 1 John, in chapter 4, in verse 1, we are again encouraged to be wide awake, we might say, in spiritual matters as well as in other matters of life. And he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's reality. There is prophets out there. There is self-proclaimed individuals that seemingly go in the name of Christ, but it's all about I, me, and myself. There is false prophets, and he says, test them. Test every spirit. Do they proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah? Do they proclaim Jesus as the only way to heaven? You know, when they start talking about other ways or other religions that do not accept Christ as Lord and Savior, they will someday be with us in heaven as well. Those are false prophets. Don't follow them. Walk away as quickly as possible. Turn around and look to the Lord. And they will claim they are of God, but prove them, test them, measure them up against the word of God. And if you find any falsehood, don't believe another word they say. So we're encouraged to not be conformed to this world. So the question might come, how do you and I live a Christian life in a secular world? You know, the word secular is defined as denoting attitudes, activities, or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis. You know, it's often interesting when you open up a dictionary and you might think, well, this is a book written by secular people, which probably for the most part is true. But when a certain word is used, they will not skirt the issue of what that word means. And secular means that other things are attracting us that have no religious or spiritual basis. So how do we go on with our Christian life? Let's first of all look to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. And this is where I got ahead of myself before and tried quoting something that came to mind. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, we are a chosen generation. You know, it reminds me of back in school days as a young boy, when at recess or noon hour, somehow, I don't even know totally how we got two captains and we wanted to play baseball, and they would choose the team. And us as players would stand around and each captain would take turn choosing a player. You know, and if you're one of the first two players chosen to a team, you know, it sort of boosted your ego. You were sort of, oh, yeah, he thinks I'm good. But if you were the last or the second last one, you sort of felt, no, he's got to take me because this is all that is left. But, you know, in God's eyes, you and I, every one of us, is treated as the first chosen. You know, when Jesus came into this world and provided salvation through his death and resurrection, he chose each of us individually, personally. We are a royal priesthood. We are not just an average individual. You know, to be born or to be a part of a royal family, you have to be born into that family. And here we're born through Jesus' death and resurrection, and through us accepting that gift of salvation, we are born into a royal priesthood. We become a holy nation. You know, it's not that our nation isn't, that our nation has enough faults of its own, but on account of 6% being Christians, and God blesses us to the extent he does, can we but only try to imagine the blessings that could fall on this nation if each of us would lead one person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when that person reaches out to another person, you understand the pyramid effect, if you want to call it that, the effectiveness that could have because of one faithful person. We're a peculiar people. You know, we don't like to be called peculiar. We don't want to be noticed. But reality is, as a Christian, the world does not understand our reasoning. They do not understand why we do the things we do, and they view us as peculiar. But when they view us as peculiar, remember, obviously, as Jesus encourages us in Matthew 5:16 to let our light shine, that light is shining. And we're here, why? To shew forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, how well am I doing with letting the light of Jesus shine through me? How well am I proclaiming his goodness? Are questions that each one should answer for him or herself. And we need to remember that in the time past, we were not a people, but now the people of God. You know, such a beautiful privilege, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, the Jews are God's chosen people. We are of the Gentiles, but God died for you and me as well as he died for every Jew, his chosen people. Many Jews have denied that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Many have chosen not to, but there's also many that have already come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have become Christians. But you know, for us, that Jesus reached out for us as a Gentile to redeem us, to save us, what a beautiful privilege that we have. We were a people in time past, but now we are people of God. We have obtained mercy. We have received Christ's love full and free. And he says, now that you have all these things, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know, let's put aside the things that distract us from living a Christian life. Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles. You know, the day it was written to a group of Jews to help them to realize there's the Gentiles that have been saved as well. They've been reached out to. And today we might say, you know, are we reaching out to the unsaved? Are we reaching out that they see us as honest and upright, Christ-fearing people? That when they speak against us, as it says here, as evildoers, they may by our actions sort of be nullified, the things that they say. And that God will be honored and glorified is our desire and prayer in all things of life. In the book of Philippians in chapter 2 and in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, to be blameless is very different than to be sinless. As Christians, we mess up, we sin, we make mistakes, but we become blameless when we confess our sin, when we recognize the grace of Jesus Christ and his mercy, and that we are harmless. We don't retaliate. We don't take revenge. We are without rebuke. You know, nobody has anything to accuse us of, but we need to realize we're living in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation. But we are to let our light shine. Let's let it shine brightly. Then further in Philippians in chapter 3, in verse 13 and 14, where the Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm sure if we all reflect in our own lives for just a bit, and we look back and we become focused on the negative things, on the mistakes that we have made, we get discouraged. If we don't recognize God's forgiveness. And Paul says, I choose to try to forget the things that are behind me. I reach forward. You know, forgetting is a difficult thing. And if we've learned from our mistakes and those things come back, we should thank God that we've learned and grown and come away from living whatever was hindering us in the past. And that we should wholeheartedly press forward toward the mark of the high calling. You know, that God has called us and that we recognize his calling and that we are grateful and show him our gratefulness through obedience and willing service to him. So to live a life of thankfulness and praise doesn't always come easy because we so easily focus on the things that our eyes see. They can discourage us, they can pull us down. But let's start our days right. Let's start our days with praising God. And you know, when we do that, it will be remarkable how the day goes better, how the day has a different focus when you choose to start off our day with praise. The psalmist in Psalm 57, picking up in verse 8 through 11, he says, awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You know, this is just one example of many of praising God openly, honestly. You know, when we learn to praise wholeheartedly, the troubles of life will become very dim. We will see Christ in every aspect to help, to guide, and to lead us. And you know, in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, in chapter 1 and verse 35, we have the example of Jesus. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, Jesus, God himself, God's only son, found the need to go before his heavenly Father in a solitary place, on his own, away from the distractions of life. I want to encourage us. Let's take the time. Let's start each day in a solitary place. You or me and God. No one else. It's not that I discourage spouses having devotions together. That is wonderful. That is great. But we should also personally, between us and God, have a relationship, have a devotion, have a time where we try to allow him to fully flow into us and us to focus on him. In closing, one more passage out of Psalm chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You know, this was, we might say, a purpose that this psalmist had in his heart. I will look to the Lord. May we all purpose to look to the Lord in every aspect of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you. We thank you for the clarity of your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather in your house and allow you to speak to us. And Lord, as we go home from here or to our respective places, to our workplaces during the week, or wherever we find ourselves, Lord, give us that inner joy. Give us that lively hope that honors and glorifies you. Help us to try and see things through your eyes. Lord, help us to trust you to orchestrate every little aspect and detail of our lives. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. And Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you shower upon us. Forgive us for when we take your presence in our lives for granted, and help us to be encouraged and uplifted. Lord, we pray in your holy name. Amen. For any other concerns that are in your heart this morning, remember, we can come before God's throne of grace at any time, wherever we are. And for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Once again, take your blue books and turn to page number 64, Springs of Living Water. Number 64. Thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living.
bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the paths I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to
Good morning. I'd like to highlight one announcement in the bulletin. Bishop Isaac Fair from Seminole, Texas will be bringing an evening service here Wednesday, November 15th at 7:30. Everyone is encouraged to join us to enjoy the fellowship and be encouraged by God's word. And also the deadline for shoeboxes is today. And they're being delivered Wednesday. Also, if anyone has missed their opportunity in getting their picture taken for the new directory, please call Agatha Clausen at 204-325-5678. We have one last photo session this Tuesday, November 14th. And also, as most of you are probably aware, the federal government has been steadily making MAID easier to access since it was introduced in 2016, to where those suffering from mental illness can now also ask for it. As Christians, we believe that human life is in God's hands, and we are not given a choice as to when that should end. There are some postcards like this. They're available in the foyer, and that's an easy way for you to voice your opinion and let the government know that you're not in agreement with us. So I'd encourage you to pick one of these up. If each adult in your home could send one in, I think that would be very helpful. And lastly, you may have noticed that we have a new song leader. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank Abe for being willing to serve and welcome.
Thank you, Jake. We've come to the conclusion of our service. I want to thank you for your prayer support. It is felt, it is encouraging, and may God bless you. For that, let us bow for the benediction in both languages. Der Herr segne dich und behüte dich. Der Herr lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Der Herr hebe sein Angesicht über dich und gebe dir Frieden. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Ye may now go in the peace of our Lord.